Jude, in the book of Jude. You can look there in Jude tonight and say a few things. I hope it can help you. Jude, I'm preaching a little different tonight. Use a little outline here. Jude. Well, I think Jude's the last day's book. And I believe that he's a preacher of judgment and a warning people to turn before the Lord comes. Yeah. And he said this in verse number 21. He's kindly right here begin in verse 20 with some scriptures of exhortation. In verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Father, use your word and anoint it, Lord, and may it have free course. And God, may the Holy Ghost use it tonight in the hearts of them that are here. God, touch them that can't come. I pray you'd help them tonight, encourage your heart. And Lord, bless now, we ask in the name above every name, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, here Jude writes, keep yourselves in the love of God. Looks like that he's giving them an exhortation or something now to keep themselves in. And I want to preach tonight on just that two words, keep yourselves. Keep yourselves. I realize and know that a man don't keep himself saved. That's not what Jude's speaking about. He's speaking about staying in a place. Thank God that they're in the love of God. So I would say, first of all, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I want to mention three areas of love. First of all, there's the communion of His love. If you don't commune with Him in fellowship, then you'll get cold in your heart. I really believe that the service of God flows from the communion that you have with God. Amen. If you commune with God and have that love of God in you, your service will be what it ought to be. I want to say this tonight. There's a danger of leaving your first love. The church in Ephesus left their first love. They was as good a church as you'll read about in the seven churches of Asia Minor. But he said, I have somewhat against thee. You've left your first love. You've left what? Thank God you ought to put first. Amen. The first love. And so we see here that there's a danger of leaving your first love. He said this in Matthew 24. He said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so iniquity can cause us to wax cold. We can get our eyes on what's going on around us and cause us to get discouraged and wax cold. And so I look at the communion of His love. It ought to be an inward love. There's up there, thank God, there's a place beside God tonight that we can commune with Him. The word communion, this means, thank God, a spiritual affection and connection with God that we walk with, and we have that inward fellowship. Thank God, John said, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son through the Holy Ghost. We fellowship with God, and so it keeps us in the love of God through the fellowship. Then not only that, but there's the commandment of His love. What's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul and thy mind. And so that God commanded him, thank God, to be loved. Amen. Nothing ought to ever take place of the love of God. Nothing ought to be nobody and nothing ought to be loved even near God. Amen. Jesus even said in the book of Luke, if a man hate not. He don't mean actually hating somebody, but he said this. He said, if a man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The love that we have for God ought to exceed everybody. There should be nobody we love more than God. If he said this, and he did, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all
all thy heart. Thank God, that's everything in the seat of life. He said this, with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That consumes a man. Thank God that God commanded men to love him. He told Israel, he said he was a jealous God. Amen. He gets jealous when we don't honor him and put him first. I tell you tonight, he is first. It's our decision to love him. Amen. That's right. Do you love him tonight? Well, one day he asked Peter. He said, do you love me more than these? That's a good question. How much do we love God? Hey, friend, I'm telling you this. Jude said that we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. That's where the power is. That's where the joy is. That's where the unction is. I tell you, if you can get in that place and love God the way you ought to, I tell you, thank God you can continue in an evil day and walk through this world. I thank God loving Jesus. Amen. That's right. Thank God. That's right. Amen. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say the only commandment, the constraining of his love. This is what Paul said. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Why do I do what I do? Because I'm compelled by the love for God and the love of God. That's why I do what I do. You see, tonight, when we do anything, it ought to be compelled by the love of Christ. Why do I love that sinner? Because Christ loved me. Why do I love the church? Because Christ loved the church. And he calls us to love the brethren when the Holy Spirit came in. But I'm going to tell you this tonight. Hey, if you don't love him, you won't live for him. I'll tell you that. Amen. It's more, thank God, than this going through the motions. It's the constraining love that God put in him. Amen. I'll tell you this tonight. If you're going to live for God, you're going to to love him. Amen. That's right. You love him more than anything else. And that constrains you. That compels you. Amen. Why do you do things for people? It ought to be because you love them. Amen. If you do it just to do it, there ain't no love in it. Ain't nothing. Not Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 about that love chapter there. He said this. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am as thinking about sounding brass, taking symbol. Amen. And though I have all the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, so I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Amen. That's where it comes from, love tonight. I tell you, love, thank God. It constrains you, it compels you, it keeps you going. Thank God, it, my friend, is the factor of life. Amen. That's right. There's no greater thing in life than love. Amen. You say, why are you doing this? Because of love God. Amen. Love you too. Amen. That's part of it. That's part of it. If you don't love somebody, you're not going to do nothing for them. Amen. You might mechanically, but you won't from the heart. That's where the heart comes in. Thank God. That's why he said, love God with all your heart. Hey, you got to keep yourself there. It's just like a marriage, just like a fellowship. It's like a church fellowship. A church got to keep herself in that place. It's something you got to work on. It's something you got to guard in your own heart to not let things in to hinder your love for God. Amen, brother. Hey, God, I tell you, that's like a marriage. You got to keep things in, keep things in, to keep your marriage where it ought to be. Because it's easy to let things creep in your life. It's like the church. It's easy, thank God, to go through the motions and not really come with a heart for God and constrain to worship and love him the way you ought to. I'm telling you, the Bible said here, and God in the last day epistle, and Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God. Amen. That's right. I don't say this tonight. This is another one here. Keep yourselves a burden for souls. Keep yourself a burden for souls. Amen. That's right. You got a burden tonight. Listen to this. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. Now, I'm not into this plan of salvation, winning souls the way they do it. But I am involved in winning souls. That means influence and reaching people in the gospel. That's what I'm in it for. Amen. And listen to me tonight. Number one, I would say there was a burden from heaven. God sent His own Son into this world to die for souls. He come to save souls. That ought to be our burn tonight. Listen, that ought to be the church's heartbeat tonight. Thank God is for sinners to be saved. Do you have a burden for sinners? Listen, Christ came to save sinners. Isaiah 53:11 says, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied, for He shall bear their iniquity. That Christ travailed for lost sinners. And He gave Himself for lost sinners. Thank God, my friend, tonight there ought to be keeping yourself in a burden for souls. Hey, the burden and the heaviness of heart that men might be saved and know Christ. Hey, we ought to have that burden tonight. We ought to have a heaviness tonight. It ought to be on us all the time. Have the church and prevail in prayer and trust God. And when people come in, conviction grips your heart and they get under conviction and they repent toward God. I'm telling you, if there's ever need of it. It's in the hour we're in. They'll burn for souls tonight. Amen. Yeah. The burden from heaven. Then I'll say this. There was a burden from hell too. There's a burden from hell for sinners.
Yeah.
That's what the rich man said. Notice what he said. He said, thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in this place of torment. Get what he said here. Have you ever thought about this? Here's a man in hell. He got put in hell. The rich man died, lift his eyes in hell. And this is what he's saying to Abraham. He's saying, send Lazarus. Send somebody to my father's house. Listen to what he said. That he might testify to them. That's what he said. In other words, listen tonight. I'm not reading something that's not there. He said, go knock on my father's house's door and testify to my brothers. Go do it. They got to hear it lest they come to this place of torture, this place of torment. He had a burden for souls, his own family. He had more of a burden than the church has in this hour for his own family. He's more concerned about somebody going to testify to his family than the local assembly is in this day. It's sad, but it's true tonight. Amen.
Right.
Amen. You know what that showed me right here? That God can use somebody to testify to sinners. And God work in their heart and say,
yeah.
That's right. He said, send him that he may testify. Just go testify. Amen. Hey, listen, God tell you tonight, you don't have to be a preacher to testify. All you have to do is be saved. All you have to do is be saved. If you're saved tonight, you can go testify. Thank God, it'd be the best thing you ever did if you ever, thank God, got a hold of this thing and testify. Amen. Just testify. I'm talking about testify. Amen. That's right. Tell somebody about God. Tell somebody about Jesus. Thank God, testify of what God's done for you. Amen. That's right. Amen. I'm always looking for an opportunity to testify.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for an open door to testify. And then it don't have to be, thank God, a preached message. All it has to be is a testifying. Thank God of what God's done and get the burn for that man and pray for him. And God Almighty, put that in your heart. And brother, you pray, thank God, as good as anybody else can you say. And we'll see them people saved. There ought to be somebody in your pew tonight that there ain't there because of your influence and your testimony of the grace of God. Amen. Yeah, I'm telling you, church pews ought not be empty tonight. I tell you why they're empty tonight. It's because the church don't have no burden for sinners. They don't have no burden for souls. And they live their life just about themselves. It's sad, but it's true. But I'm telling you this, there's a burden from heaven tonight, and there's a burden from hell tonight. And this man said, send him. I go to my daddy's house. I've got some brothers, so I don't want them to come to hell. Hey, he believed in hell. Hey, he was in hell. Hey, we don't believe in hell no more. If we did, we'd go testify. Amen. That's right. Well, we're too worried about what somebody's going to say about us. Amen. I'll tell you what, I wasn't worried about that when I got saved. That's right. But I'll tell you what, as you grow in grace and knowledge, I understand y'all have more wisdom, but I'll tell you what, we've lost our zeal.
Yeah.
We've lost our zeal. Amen. We've lost our zeal. Hey, we're not in the business. We're not in the business of just gaining the free. And I understand that it is a friendship. We're in the business of giving the gospel out. and to testify of the goodness and graces of God in Jesus Christ. And we've not done it, friend. I'm telling you, if a man get a burden, keep yourself. It's hard to keep yourself there, Brother Danny. It's just hard to do because we're so worldly minded and we're so carnal minded and we're entangled with the affairs of this life. And Paul said, you can't please me, amen, and be a soldier of Christ and be entangled, entwined with the very affairs of this life. That's why the devil's got this system set up today. It's an antichrist system. Everything's against Christ and the church. It's just the way it is today. We're somewhat entwined with it and entangled with it.
Right.
And therefore, when you get cold in loving God and you don't have a burn for souls. You don't witness to nobody. You don't testify to nobody. Hey, man, I saw an old fella last Friday night. I'd talked to that guy probably 5 years. He'd been on my heart about 5 years, and I felt bad and never had witness to him. And I stand there, him and his wife was there, and I said, I want to give an invitation. He said, to what? That's what he said. He's kind of bold talking. And I said, to come to the house of God. He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, I'm a pastor. He said, oh my goodness. He said, I didn't know that. He said, how long have you been trying to do that? I said, about 25 years. Amen. He said, you know what that man did? Four times. He said, oh, I'm so sorry. He has some pretty rough language. He said, I'm so sorry. I'm cussed in your presence. He kept telling me that. I said, listen, don't worry about that. I just want you to come to the house of God. I want you to come hear me preach one time. Just come. Amen. That's all I want. Just come. Amen. That's how that fellow did when he left. He hugged my neck. Amen. That's right. I'm just telling you, God opened the door for me to testify to him about what God had called me to do. Amen. Listen, friend. I'm telling you, thank God. That's a blessing to me. Amen. I'm telling you, I want to see people saved. And God got us in that ministry of reconciliation. And we'll be trying to reach people. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank God. I'm telling you tonight. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. There was a burden from hell. And then there's a burden from the heart. Not only heaven and hell, but there's a burden from the heart. Notice Romans 10:1 when it says, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's what he said. He said, my heart's desire, my desire is Israel to be saved. My heart's desire and prayer is to Israel to be saved, that I have the same knowledge of Christ, the one I've got. That's my desire. He said, I'd be willing to be, my friend, I ain't got a curse. I'd be willing to go to hell. Kinsmen be saved, amen. That's right. Notice what the Apostle Paul said here. He said, I made all things to all men that by all means save some. That by all means I save some might save some. That's what he said. In other words, he became what he needed to become. Thank God of that individual. To get the gospel to him. If it's a Jew, he became a Jew. If it's a Gentile, he became a Gentile. He had the gospel message. And he made himself, thank God, a vessel for God. It didn't matter who it was around. He had the lead of the Holy Ghost. And he'll tell them about Jesus. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen. That's right. Buddy, I'm telling you what. Don't you tell me. Don't you tell me. God's called us into this ministry, buddy. That's right, the ministry of reconciliation. That's the only ministry I can find in that Bible right there. He said, what ministry of reconciliation? Does that know what it said? He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, ministry of reconciliation. That means that we're in that ministry. Thank God, the gospel. And I'm telling you, we better keep ourselves in a burden for sinners. There ought to be a burden on your heart tonight about your youngins, about your grandchildren, about my friend. Thank God, and your neighbors, and then you work around. Thank God, and then that you see. I'm telling you, ought to be a burden in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I was on vacation this year, and this man, he said, he's talking about the weather or something. He said, you know, we really can't count on nothing. I said, but the Word of God.
Yeah.
I said, the Word of God, you can count on that.
Yeah.
He's probably an unbeliever. He didn't say nothing. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
It's the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. I'm not going to act foolish, but I'll tell you what, there's going to be people to call you a fool.
Yeah.
That's right. They're going to call you that. That's what Paul said. He said, they think I'm a fool. Amen. Festus said, thou art mad.
Yeah.
Much learned to make thee mad. He said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I speak the words of soberness and truth. Amen. That's right. Thank God. I want to ask yourself, have you kept yourselves in the love of God? Have you kept yourselves a burden for souls? In the last one, have you kept yourselves in a place of service? Notice this here. There's no greater title outside a child of God than a servant of God. I want to say, first of all, it's your reasonable service. The Bible said, and I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means my body's His. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God, your body and your spirit, which are God's. That means this temple is God's. The only place the Holy Ghost resides in the temple of the believer. He's not floating around there somewhere. He's in the believer. He works through the believer. He works through the church. That's right. Isn't that right? That's right. That's right. So my body's going to be yielded to Him. I think some teaching out of Romans 6 talked about yielding your bodies under righteousness. But the fact of it is, He said, it's your reason of our service. He said, that's reasonable to ask of you that I gave my life for you. Would you give your body for me? To serve Him. To serve Him. To serve Him. I'll be honest with you tonight, I didn't have to have a preacher to preach that to me. I need preaching. But when I got saved, I wanted to give myself as a living sacrifice to God. I want tonight, thank God for this body to be used for the glory of God. And He says, by reasonable service, I tell His heart sometimes to keep yourself in that place. Amen. Notice this, not is it a reasonable service, but it is a gospel reaching service. Notice what Philippians 2 says. Paul said this about Timothy. He said, but ye know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Served with me. Over there in Romans chapter 16, it talked about how Phoebe, and I don't believe she was a deacon, but I believe she was a lady in the church that was a servant. Thank God with the Apostle Paul, and God blessed her. Thank God, I'm telling you tonight, friend, that God uses women as good as He does men. He just uses them in different capacity. Amen. But that woman, Phoebe, was a servant, friend. I'm telling you, listen to me. There's no excuse for anybody not to serve God and do something for God. Hey, in the gospel ministry, hey, would you get involved in it? It's the will of God for you tonight. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Keep your sails there. Keep your sails there. We live in more of a selfish dispensation and age. We live in a day, thank God, of inconvenience. Everything's inconvenient. Huh? It's just not a convenient day. It's not a convenient time. It's not convenient for me. But dear God, if you wait no convenience, you'll never do it. It's what you're waiting on. How's it going to be? Convenient. Is it convenient for me to win this? Is it convenient for me to give? Is it convenient for me to go out of the way and help somebody? And no! You can walk on the other side. But thank God there was a man that put that man up on his shoulders and beast and took him to the inn and paid, thank God, for the service. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. You know what's happened to us? I said us. We got it too easy. We got it too easy. We got good padded pews. Look at that, man.
Yep.
Padded pews, air conditioned. I'm glad for it. I'm not preaching against it. I'm glad for it. But what it is, we've just got it ease in Zion. Not just that, our life is like it. It's just an ease in Zion. It's an ease in Zion. Huh? It's a sleep in Zion. Huh? I kept 5 wise foolish and 5 foolish virgins. Huh? I went to sleep. Huh? And the bridegroom came. Huh? I tell they did tell them all. But they never was an influence. Oh, men that had no oil. Amen. That's right. Never was. I want to ask you this. Would you say your life breeds conviction on other people when they just around you? If you live day to life, and I understand your family's going to know you better than anybody in this. I understand the Holy Ghost has to do that, but people we're around, our life ought to be a convicting force to them. Amen. That's right. Our light ought to shine. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, the gospel is not, the gospel is not limited to one place. The gospel is not limited in who can be a help in it. Amen. That's right. I mean, Paul had all kind of helpers. You read through his epistles, he mentions a lot of names of people that refreshed him, people that brought him faith, people that helped him, people that was with him. Amen. All that's a part of the ministry. Every bit of it. Amen. I mean, we're coming up short. I think we've got the 2014 Christianity and church age completely misconceived, and think that Christianity is just sitting on a church pew, hearing a man preach, going back to the house, and continuing as we are. But it ought not be. It ought not be. You see, you ought to be involved in the gospel ministry. Not, you might not be called to preach, but you ought to be involved in the gospel ministry. Can you testify? Can you serve? Amen. Can you give yourself to serve for God? Oh, I just got too much to do, preacher. I said, you do. You got too much you want to do instead of what you ought to be doing for God. Amen. That's right. How many days a week would we take out, amen, just in an afternoon time and have a moment of a mind of prayer? How much time we take out, thank God, to go to our neighbor's house and say, I want you to come to the house of God? How much time we got? I tell you, we got more time than what you think, but we don't want to do it. Amen. That's right. You say, preacher, you're preaching to me. I said, I know I am. I'm trying to. I'm trying to get you to see that there's people going to hell. We need to get a hold of the gospel to them. Amen. Notice this here. Not only is it a reasonable service and a recent service, but notice it's a ready service. Notice this here. Are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do in His service? Isaiah said, Lord, hear Him, I send me. Hear Him, I send me. I'm not saying God's going to send you across the into another country, across the sea. I'm saying this, God's going to send you somewhere if you do His will. What did He tell them in the, when He breathed on them and over there in John chapter 20? He said, hey, He says, the Father has sent me. What did He say? I send you. That's what He said. As the Father sent me, even so I send you. John 17 is the intercessory prayer that Jesus prayed for His people. Is that right? That's what it is. You read it. John 17. Somebody asks you what the Lord's Prayer is, y'all at least know it's John 17. Amen. It's the intercessory prayer of Christ for His people, but not only for His people, but them that will believe on Him through their word. That means it's passed down a generation to generation that Him to hear the word of God. That's what He says. What did He do? He sent them. He sent them. Amen. He said, preach, well, not everybody's going to get saved. God didn't tell us to save them. He told them to preach to every creature. But I'm telling you this. Look at me tonight. Look up here. I want to say one thing. I believe everybody I preach to can be saved.
Amen.
If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't preach.
Amen.
You think I'm up here, as old Brother James Savior said, bopping my gums?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not up here just bopping my gums. Thank God. If I didn't believe that the gospel is powerful enough to save whoever I preach to, I wouldn't even preach it. I wasn't even believing it. I'm telling you, thank God. He said in the Word of God, He said, go all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what He said. That means everyone. Everyone. You know, everyone's got a soul. Everybody needs to be saved. Will everybody be saved? No. But I'll tell you what, and then I preach it to, I'll tell you what, it is a sovereign, divine appointment of God. He's got them in the audience when I preach. There ain't nobody I ever preached to by accident. I tell them, hey, you're not here by accident. I tell them guys up there, I said, you're in a better place than lawyers. That's what I tell them. I said, they wouldn't hear what I'm saying right now to you, buddy. They wouldn't dare hear a man get sweating and preaching and go wide open and preaching the Word of God. They ain't going to listen to that. Hey, remember them men up there? Thank God they get in that room and they hear the gospel. They're better off. Blessed are the ears that they got to hear the Word of God. I really don't like how it come to pass. But I tell you what, thank God the jailer got saved, didn't he?
Amen.
He wasn't in there for some crime, he was in there watching them.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost got on him, he got saved. And I'm going to tell you what, it don't save it. I believe some of them people in the jail probably got saved too because they didn't leave the jailhouse. Amen. The Holy Ghost got that thing so thick, son, the earthquake came and shake the very foundation of that prison. And they, brother, thank God didn't leave. They stayed right there. Amen. That's right. Amen. I'll tell you this, buddy. It's a ready, sir. Are you ready, sir? Amen. God asks you to do something. Oh, I can't do it, preacher. I mean, I can't do it. I'll tell you one thing I believe. I believe you can. If you want to.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Oh, I can't do that, preacher. I can't do that. I never forget when God saved me. I did not know nothing about the Bible. But boy, when I got saved, I wanted to know everything I could about the Bible. And I still love reading the Word of God. And I remember the first time I ever taught Sunday school. That fellow says, because he saw some fire in me. I mean, he knew I was wanted. I covered everything. He said, would you teach? And I said, I will. Buddy, I'm telling you what, it was a joy in my heart to open the Word of God and tell somebody about Jesus. And really, I mean, there's people in this church tonight, you know what? You're not doing what you do. There's people in here, I'm talking about men, brother. I'm talking about men in here that's got great knowledge of the Word of God. A lot of these furthering themselves and doing something for Jesus Christ. That's right. There's a lot of ministry out there, buddy. I'm preaching now, but the ministry starts when I go outside that door. You got that? Did you get what I just said? I'm preaching now. When I go outside the door, the ministry starts. The ministry starts when we go out and visit tomorrow. The ministry starts when you go down that little old lady's house and pray with her. The ministry starts outside the church. Notice this here. Romans writer Paul said this. He said, not slothful in business. Fervent spirit serving the Lord. Not slothful. Not lazy. I want to tell every one of you tonight, I love you and I appreciate you. I'm not preaching to rebuke you. That's not, God help, I don't care nothing about that. I'm trying to get you to see that we need to keep ourselves in the love of God, in a burden for sinners, and in a place of service. Because that's where you see the blessings of God. That's right. Amen. I told Brother Ronnie Jones this. Me and him talked this afternoon. And I said, I guess the greatest fulfillment in the ministry is knowing you help somebody. You teach school. You know one of the greatest things of teaching school is you feel like you help them students. That's the greatest fulfillment. It's the greatest fulfillment to my heart for somebody to come and say, that helped me. Or see God help them. That's the greatest fulfillment. That know that God used this temple and vessel, thank God, to help somebody. Amen. That's right. That's a blessing, thank God. To know I was just the help of somebody. And it didn't matter what I done. Thank God, whether it was going to visit, whether it was a phone call, whether a brother, thank God, it was preaching. It didn't matter. Long as I felt like I was helping somebody. Amen. That's right. This thing is so broad. And I understand we're in the last days. People say, we're in the last days. We are, but there's more opportunity now than ever has been. There's more opportunity to serve God right now than ever has been.
Right.
Amen. I mean, you say, preacher, what can I do? Thank God I can give you a list. Amen. That's right. Husbands and wives could visit shut-ins. Rest homes. There's all kind of things to do. Amen. There's all kind of things. There's all kind of things a man can do to thank God to give himself to God and serve him and fulfill something. Amen. I mean, you know I'm telling you the truth. We're lazy. You get a man in the hospital and most time we don't even go visit him. I'm as guilty as you are sometimes about it. I call them. If I can't get there, I'm calling them. I'm going to take some visitation time tomorrow and get out and try to visit some. But I'm telling you what, I wonder how many people we call that's even in our local flock that's down. Thank God it's hurting. My friend, that needs a call. Amen, but we don't even think about it. I'm going to tell you what, you better keep yourself there. Amen. You better keep yourself there. Better keep yourself there. Right. Let's stand tonight. I appreciate you hearing the Word of God.